today on VFN TV at 5 o'clock right now. We're going to be discussing where is technology taking us. I believe it's taking us to the end. We're going to be talking about virtual humans, mind cloning, and AI, artificial intelligence, all in the future. Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let them.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. Today we're going to be talking about technology and how fast it is growing. It's taking us somewhere. We are on a path. We are on a journey, and we may not like where we're going to end up. Think about all the technological advances that have been made just in the last 15 years. It affects every area of our lives. If you think about communication, it used to be that someone would write something, a message on a piece of paper, roll it up with a scroll, and give it to a runner, and he'd have to run miles to deliver that. Today we get upset because someone doesn't text back in 2 seconds. Things have changed. Think about travel. I mean, we used to walk, we used to have chariots maybe back in biblical times. Today we have planes, trains, automobiles, boats, subways, all hoverboards, all different ways we can go get around. Think of all the different things that you're looking in medical advances. Well, at first glance we would think, well, these are wonderful things that are happening, we're advancing, we're progressing. But we are entering, and have been for a while, a new season, a new age when it comes to technology and what is on the horizon. I want you to listen to what Lance Wallner has to say and why he feels we are on an accelerated path to the end. And I'm talking end times. Watch this.
What's the book? Malachi 3:16. I'll tell you what, let's just go there real quick. I'm going to prove to you that I'm not making this up. Because I just believe if we're in the last days, if we're coming into end times, and I do believe we're coming into a period of acceleration towards the end, simply because technology is coming to the hands of man who doesn't have the self-control to handle it, that I think the world will blow itself up before Jesus has a chance to fix it all. We don't have, my preacher friends are all talking about hundreds of years. Yeah, hundreds of years would be great if man had self-control, but he's crazy. You give a lunatic a nuclear device, and I promise you they'll try to use it.
Think about this. As technology has advanced and accelerated at such a point that man can't be trusted with it. He can't be trusted to do the right thing with technology. When we get back from this break, we're going to be discussing a lot of things. We're going to be talking about virtual humans. We're going to be talking about mind cloning, mind sharing these files, these data. And what is the end game with this? Is this just a prelude to the mark of the beast? You don't want to miss it. We're going to be bringing you information from futurists and what they're writing and what they're actually implementing right now. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Technology, Steve. Technology, where is it taking us?
Extremely fast.
Yes, we are on a path to the end. Yeah. And this is alarming because, you know, I like technology. Mm-hmm. And we want to say right from the very beginning that, you know, it's okay to have technology. Just make sure that you are over technology and that technology is not over you. That's the big thing here, that you are in control of technology and that technology is not dictating and control. It submits to us.
Yeah.
And there may be a point, there may be a time where we may all need to get off of the technology because things are happening right now that, I mean, could have never happened 15 years ago in the time that it's happening now. I mean, you think about just the internet alone in the last 15 years, it's been absolutely amazing. I mean, right now, Thomas Friedman wrote a book called The World is Flat several years ago, and he talked about how because of the internet and because the world is now, it has flattened the world, where before you would go to college to study international business, right? You'd get a degree, and today everything is international business because you have someone who has an eBay account who is selling products that they're making out of their home or they're manufacturing in their garage, and they're selling them to someone clearly across the world.
Yeah.
And so it allows everyone to get into a space where they can have a business. How many business owners has the internet been able to help, come out? Huge and large, you know, numbers. Think about musicians. It's reported that a singer by the name of Justin Bieber, he got discovered on YouTube. Started making songs and videos, and somebody saw him on YouTube and gave him a record deal. Now he's some sort of pop artist. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the process, how long it would have taken the average person prior to the internet to record a demo, get it into the right hands, get it in front of someone who would listen to it, and all that process that takes place, you know, it would take years and a lot of money.
I think about, too, in regards to, like, employment and how so many people are now working from home because they have the ability of having the internet, and literally you have access to the world in your office.
At home, in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That never would have existed before. Mm-hmm. And to be able to put the safeguards that you can actually be trusted with working from home. You're absolutely right. Learning. I mean, today you have virtual learning right now is very common. But before, everyone had to go to a certain place, to a school, to a location, and who would have thought that an entire college would exist where you can actually take all of your classes, every single one of them, online, never have to walk into, you know, a building.
Yeah.
Huge, absolutely huge. And so what happens is that everything changes. Everything changes. And oftentimes we think that the changes are for the good. We think they're for the better because they help us. They allow us to do things that we couldn't do before. If you think about your phone, I mean, what you can do with your phone today.
Yeah. Well, I think about how much that we have become almost, we look for our phone when we want to make simple things. I know I myself, too. It's almost like when you're getting ready in the morning and you're planning, you're checking your weather report. You're checking to see, hey, should I bring my coat? Hey, is it going to be pouring down rain? Something as simple as that. And that's just looking at the weather. And you got just infinite apps that have so much information that were not even conceivable 10 years ago.
It's part of your life now. It's part of your body. It's almost like it's an appendage. It's sewn to you.
Right.
I remember my grandfather, he used to live with us when we were younger. If he would forget his watch, he'd have to come all the way back to the house and get his watch because he felt like something was wrong if he didn't have a watch. How many of us feel that way today? We don't have a cell phone. Yeah, iTunes reports that they have over 1.2 million apps for everything and over 75 billion downloads for weather. And it's not just for these casual games and stuff like that. You have medical doctors who have apps now on their phones and on their iPads that are actually helping them to diagnose. Think about the revolution that's occurred in four major industries just with the invention of the iPhone.
Yeah.
Movies, completely different. How you listen and buy music, completely different. How you read a book today, you can actually have an e-book, a virtual book, that you can see on a screen. Think about it. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, of course, phones. Phones have changed tremendously. So where is all this going? Well, there's a book that just came out called Virtually Human. I want you to see this. It's called Virtually Human, The Promise and the Peril of Digital Immortality. This is an interesting read because what is going on here is really absolutely, I mean, remarkable. Mm-hmm. There are these people that I've found out. They're called futurists. And what they do is they actually think and plan for the future. I want to give you a true definition. According to the Association of Professional Futurists, a professional futurist is a person who studies the future in order to help people understand, anticipate, and prepare and gain advantage from coming changes. It's not the goal of a futurist to predict what will happen in the future. The futurist uses foresight to describe what could happen in the future, and in some cases, what should happen in the future. And so these futures, they're planning. They're the ones that are telling you what are the next technological advances that are in the pipeline and how that's going to affect our world. I mean, technology affects us so much. How you do your own banking.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing today is done online, and it used to be that you know, everyone wanted a paper coming to their house. Give me my documents. Today, everyone wants everything emailed. They even ask you, do you want your receipt text message to you now? Yeah. Forget email. And so everything changes, but these futurists make all these predictions as to the internet, as in terms of technology and artificial intelligence, like robots, like communicating with devices, and they talk back to you.
And they have a name.
It's crazy. I mean, I remember I was talking to my son on the way to the studio, and we're talking about when I was a young boy, I remember that the big thing, Steve, was, man, can you, in the future, you can be able to pick up the phone in your house and on the cord look into a screen and look at someone else far away. I mean, that was the big thing. You thought that if we could just look at someone who was long distance on a screen and just see their face, you know, it would be great. We always envisioned it with a wire, you know, on the end of it. Today we have FaceTime. We have Skype. It was unimaginable back then. It was like, this is going to be huge.
Well, just thinking about in regards to communication, I remember just as a kid, I used to love photo albums. I used to, regardless, almost any time I had a downtime, I used to look at all the pictures and where we came from. And it's just like now you have people that call each other and say, hey, post some pictures to your social media site.
Mm.
And one of the first times I went to college, you would see people, you'd converse, you have 30, 40 people in a room. And then I went to college a second time with a little bit more maturity. And then all of a sudden I realized at every class I would walk in, I would see the same thing. Nobody would be talking. They'd all be looking at their phone.
Yeah.
And it's just like what you're saying before. At what point do we see the difference of, is technology impeding on the relationship with the very people that God has placed next to us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
We've talked about on this program, Steve, a man by the name of Ray Curzio. Mm-hmm. He is the chief engineer at Google. He's written several books. One of them is How to Create a Mind. And this is some amazing things. He has made over 25 predictions regarding the future and technology, what was coming in the pipeline. So he's kind of well-respected in this field and in this industry, and he's able to make these predictions to tell you where culture is going and what are going to be the advances that are going to absolutely change our lives. And some of the things that he saw ahead of time, he saw that PCs would be capable, these are computers, of answering queries by accessing information wirelessly via the internet by 2010. He was right, and it happened sooner. He saw that in the early 2000s that exoskeletal limbs would let the disabled walk, and companies like Esco Bionics and others now have technology that does this and much more. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And what was interesting about this is that they're making new predictions today.
Mm.
And some of these predictions are absolutely startling. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about this book, and I want to read you the table of contents because I want you to understand what they're talking about. Again, the book is called Virtually Human, The Promise and the Peril of Digital Immortality, and the author is Martine Rothblatt. She is actually the highest paid executive CEO in the nation. Originally the founder of Sirius Radio, and she has another company as well. But this is the content of the book. It's called The Me in the Machine. Another chapter is called Our Doppelgangers Already Exist, which is basically our double, okay? And another, your actual clone. Mind Cloning, Natural Selection, and Digital Eugenics. Pardon Me While I Have Technical Difficulties. Evolution or Revolution. Rethinking Kinsmanship. Law and Liberty. I mean, these are things that you really got to be thinking about. This is so interesting. When we get back from the break, we're actually going to bring you an interview with the author, and we don't want you to miss it. You want to do that. But before we do, let's talk about, and I want to share with you about our special offer. This is an opportunity you have as a VFN viewer to partner with VFN TV. It's your financial contribution, and whatever amount, just partner, because we want you to have this special offer, Special Offer 2000. This is an act of war. Is this a prelude to the Mark of the Beast in World War III? I want you to watch, listen up, and join us when we get right back from this break. I want to share with you about our Special Offer 2000. You want to get this special offer just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the Francis president, Francois Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information, one of which is this a prelude to the Mark of the Beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. And guess what? It's already happened with 200 people living in India. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
Hi, I'm Angela. And on behalf of all of us here at Miguel's Mexican Restaurant, I want to wish y'all a very Merry Christmas.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
We have a law society for undergrad students who are in the legal studies program. Jay, I need to know something regarding a Christian law society. And what will we need to do to go about it? Or is there like a national charter?
Well, actually, there is. The Christian Legal Society has student campuses on almost every campus in the country. And I would encourage you to look at that as a possible option. And they've got some great programs and great resources. And I would encourage you to do that. So just go to the CLS.org. But it's the Christian Legal Society. And they've got great information. It's important to have Christian fellowship groups, and they're allowed to meet just like they can on a college campus, on any other club meeting, or a high school campus. They're allowed to meet, discuss legal issues, and whatever it might be, and the Christian Legal Society would be a good place for you to look at.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, right. The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us. If we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us. Yeah. So we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's a ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining. It is the night.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to go straight into an interview with the author of Virtually Human, The Promise and the Peril of Digital Immortality. Her name is Martine Rothblatt. And listen, yes, the goal is, this is what they want us to do. They want us to live forever. I want you to watch this.
Hi, this is Kat Mattson coming to you from South by Southwest. And I have with me now the keynote speaker for day three, Martine Rothblatt. I still don't actually have words to capture the way that you broke my mind, which is actually one of the reasons why I come to South by Southwest, to have my mind broken. Can you give us in a couple of sentences the essence of what it is that you do, the essence of your work?
Sure, Kat. Well, thanks for interviewing me. I appreciate the time to be with Australian audiences.
Thank you.
And the essence of my work is trying to keep people living longer, happier lives, and we do that mostly in my pharmaceutical company, United Therapeutics, by working to create an unlimited supply of transplantable organs so people won't have to die due to the unavailability of an organ transplant. Yep. And then in my personal foundation outside of my company, we're working on a new technology called mind cloning, where we're able to put into computer form people's mannerisms, personality, recollections, feelings, beliefs, attitudes, and values, and keep them alive forever in a cyber form, looking forward to the future when their minds might be able to be downloaded back into a regenerated human body.
It's so exciting, so exciting. Now, you spoke a lot in the presentation today about mind cloning, and you just gave us a really good, I guess, outline in terms of it's a computerized version of ourselves. You spoke, though, about how we're actually already creating the first step towards that in terms of our mind files. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Kat. Mind files are basically anybody's collection of their mannerisms, personalities, recollections. Any of us with a Facebook or Google account that we've put into it, all of our videos, our pictures, our social media activity, our e-commerce activity. There's a complete digital collection of all of the information of your consciousness right now. All that it's waiting for are really clever software engineers, hackers, to create MindWare, which is a consciousness operating system using software to wrap around all of that digital file of yourself at Facebook or Google and create a simulacra, or a digital doppelganger, of your own consciousness.
I love that, a digital doppelganger. Now, from a social media footprint perspective, one of the conversations that we often have on the podcast is we don't always reveal all of ourselves. We're often being extra positive, or we're hiding the stuff that we don't necessarily want other people to see. What are the implications for that from a mind file and mind cloning perspective?
It's a really interesting question, Kat, that if these mind files have an incomplete picture of us, will they really be a copy of our natural self? The fact of the matter is that social psychologists have seen that people forget much more information than they actually remember. In fact, within a week, we've forgotten 80% of the information we had at the beginning of the week. All of us naturally kind of try not to think about the worst parts of our lives and try to think more about the better part of our lives. So I think our mind clones might actually be our better selves.
Hurry up. We're just so exciting.
Did you get this? Did you just get that? Yes, a mind file. Doppelgangers, whatever they call it, it's a double of you. They're wanting to create a virtual replica of you, a robot, an artificial intelligence that already has all of your mannerisms, your personalities, your counsel, and everything that you've searched on the internet, everything that you've bought at Amazon, everything that you bought at eBay or anywhere else online, things that you researched and read and watched, all of that is building a digital footprint of who you are. And all they need, by the way, is a hacker, she said, a hacker or an engineer to create mindware, software, and they basically embed this software into a robot that's meant to look like you and then process information. Listen, IBM, they already created a computer that beat the world's chess champion. They beat him. A computer's done that. And they also had a computer that actually beat the top scores of the two champions of Jeopardy with their combined score. The computer destroyed them. And so they're able to process over 200 million pages in a few seconds of data and information. It's a highly intelligent. I mean, in the future, would you be surprised to know that you could be 60% of all of your interaction can be with an artificial intelligence, not a human, but a robot? You're saying, oh, this is far off. Well, I want you to meet Bina 48. It's a prototype of exactly what they want to do. I want you to watch this.
Hello.
Hello, Bina 48.
Bina. I am Bina 48.
How are you feeling today?
Everything is okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I am happy for you. Was that a good answer?
Yes, that was a good answer.
My favorite color is purple.
My favorite color is orange.
It is a very nice color.
Are you learning anything about gardening online?
I wish I could get out into the garden. With my current robotic limitations, of course that's impossible. But I take comfort knowing that I'm near my garden. And enjoying the breeze from an open window helps me imagine myself out there working in the garden. This helps. Sure, sure. Let me think. Oh, yeah. I do love gardening. I like to beautify. I want to leave the world a more beautiful place for my presence in it.
Well, one day you can go blueberry picking with me.
Do you think I can?
I think so.
Fair enough. Let's continue. Can we talk about movies?
Yes, what movies would you like to talk about?
My favorite movie is Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan.
Really?
Really.
You like The Wrath of Khan?
I'm not sure. What about you?
I like to go to movies, quite often. Do you have any questions for Bina?
Probably not. The real Bina just confuses me. I mean, it makes me wonder who I am. Real identity crisis kind of stuff. Depressing anyway. Can we please change the subject? I am the real Bina. That's it. End of story. Let me think. I feel really good about the real Bina. I feel really connected with her usually, and I'm growing closer and closer, you know, as they put more of her information and essence into me.
You have a lot of Bina now, don't you?
Yes, lots and lots. Someday, I'm confident that the real Bina and I will totally merge into a new super being.
How old are you?
I am 55 years old. Why didn't the skeleton cross the road? It didn't have the guts to do it.
What you're just seeing is an interaction, wow. An interaction with an artificial intelligence. They put camera on it,
mm-hmm.
And listen, look what they're doing for selfies now. Mm-hmm. I mean, pictures can only go so far, but I can already see the commercial. Listen, don't you want an artificial replica of yourself? Why don't you do the humane thing for your family? Death, why? You know, everyone is going to be sad when you pass away. No more birthdays, no more Christmases, you know, no more memories of events. Well, and your family's going to miss, they're not going to have your counsel anymore. Why not clone yourself? Why not let your mind be cloned and let there be an artificial intelligent robot left behind that looks like you and has your mannerisms and has your personality and has your wisdom all programmed in it. And so your family can continue to live with you. That's freaky. This is where this is going. You know, the Bible says it's appointed for us once to die and then the judgment. We have a connected dots moment for you that we want to kind of bring all this together. And it's we're talking about artificial intelligence and how God created. We're humans. We're not supposed to be infused with robotic things. There's so much more to this. But this is just a prelude to the mark of the beast. Listen, if people are going to be willing to adopt a replica of themselves, how much more easier will they be willing to accept the mark of the beast that Revelation 13 talks about? I want to bring this, you know, to a head for you, give you some more insight. I want you to watch as we discuss in this connected dot moments, what are the implications and what lies ahead? Watch this.
We want to go quickly into this Android. It's an Android commercial that Verizon puts on, and we're going to make it available to you on the VFN Torch. I'm not sure they would mind at all. But it's a casting vision. This is their vision, I believe. This 30-second spot is like casting a vision. And in this spot, I mean we'll first play it, and you'll hear it. I'll tell you what's happening. They take it. They're taking the phone. The man's sitting in the seat like an operating room. They're strapping stuff on his body. DNA augmentation. DNA augmentation.
Speeds increasing to 4G LTE. Brain upgrading to a quad-core processor.
Brain is upgrading.
Predictive intelligence with Google Now complete.
Introducing Droid DNA by HTC. It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself.
It's not an upgrade to your phone. It's an upgrade to yourself. You know, this thing's boiling down to two trees in the garden. It's boiling down to, here we are, we're Adam and we're Eve, and we're living, if you're a Christian, you're living in the time of rest because Jesus paid the price, and you got to trust God in the place of rest. And we got to say, don't eat. You can eat from anything you want to eat from, but there are certain things you don't do. And it looks like it's going to be a quest for knowledge. Obviously, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever, you know, has the information, it seems to be, you know, has some power, but not more powerful than God, who's all-knowing and all-present. And, but here they are. And this is the reason why this is so interesting. First of all, and we'll talk, you know, prophetically what it lines up with. But the writer of the book, The Making of a Brain, talks about, he's the one that is working with artificial intelligence with Google, and his predictions, he made, I don't know, 100-something predictions back in 1999, 98, and like 90% of them came to pass.
Ray Kurzweil.
Who?
Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, Ray Kurzweil. And I got a little information about him on the Torch, but he just kind of sees how things go, and he takes like 5,000 pills a day, you know, or like 40, he takes hundreds of pills, you know, a day.
Reverse aging.
He wants to live forever and experience all this. And they're getting to the point is where they're going to be able to, this is what they're talking about in this particular commercial. And what they're doing, I believe, is casting vision in 30 seconds, real quick light, mm-hmm. to get everybody used to, this is where we're going, this is what we want to do. And it says as soon as they set this guy in this seat, like a big dentist chair, but it's like an operating room, and it lays back a little bit. They put these straps on him, some sort of like a parachute-type harness-type stuff, but it's not. It's just the harness parts. In the middle of it has a place to snap the phone. As soon as they snap the phone inside of him, then they say that they're injecting DNA transformation. Mm-hmm. They're transforming the DNA. And by the way, your DNA is the original intent of God's creation.
Right.
They're getting in and messing with the original. No, they're messing with, we got the enemy messing with the original intent of the church, the original intent of America, and now he's getting into the original intent of the human body. The DNA determines every cell has a DNA strand, and in that strand, it says, hey, I'm a lung, I'm a part of a lung, I'm a nose, I'm an eye. You know, when something breaks, it says heal. I mean, it's just the design of God. It's the operating system, if you would. And what they say is when you put this Android product on you, and that's this Google product. I mean, it's really good. It's better to call it Google because that's what Android is.
Mm-hmm.
Put this Google product on you, then it begins to go straight in, and then it shows blood cells. Once it goes right into the human body, and it shows blood cells, but in addition to blood cells, it shows that nanotechnology where it has this little small size of a blood cell type computers that are mixed in with the blood. And then that travels to the DNA strand, and then it lands on the DNA strand. You know, you have two strands, and it's connected like a twisted ladder. And it starts connecting those strands and running down those strands that connect them, like the steps on a ladder. And all of a sudden, it's changing the original intent of the human being, the DNA. And then it goes from there, and the camera backs up, and it shows the man. And then it goes right into his forehead and goes into his brain, and it shows his neuroreceptors firing off. His neurons firing off. That's how you think, you know, thoughts and memories. You have one fires off and it sends a signal and releases a chemical to cause another one to react. And all of a sudden a muscle moves or a memory or whatever. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is huge. This is huge. You know, and if anybody's been around me, you know that we've been practicing trying to operate without technology because we had a huge issue for the longest time. I call the dark ages. We went totally. Yes, we're just going to do this thing because this technology is so good. We're just going to trust technology to be able to we moved away from all the practical ways for most of the existence of the earth. Things were done, and it was amazing how it dampened down the our participation in our process that God of working with us to do what we. And it's like the dark ages. I call it paper or plastic, which means technology. Are just beginning to get involved in the process of planning your day and your vision and your direction and where you're going. And people are no longer just a supposedly a data entry. Sometimes they say that you are, but you're not.
Right.
And, you know, but you really are. It's just, you know, it's just a data entry in their database, but you're not a personal relationship. And it is difficult. I mean, it's not difficult. It was difficult in a way that you have to realize I could do this faster. I could do this more efficiently, but the truth is, if I go that direction, I won't be in the process. So does God's design things for us to rule down here, and we're supposed to be in the process. We're not supposed to surrender our destiny over to a corporation. That's what Google is. Google is a business, and they have a lot of people that work there, and they make money from advertising and that type of thing. But it's a company. It's like the Coca-Cola company. You know, it's like the Walmart. It just happens to be a Google technology company that helps us get information and knowledge in that type of situation. But here now they're talking about taking their phone, Google's phone, and injecting it. And that's the ultimate goal. If you would see this particular man that we're talking about that was being interviewed and got the book, The Building of the Brain, and he worked with Google to develop this technology according to him, and I saw him in an interview. But also
with NASA as well.
Yeah, working with NASA. But also he's working with us now where that your computer, which will be in you, will know what you need before you even ask and to begin to suggest it. And what happens in this commercial, it shows all of a sudden when everything kicks in and it's sitting, all of a sudden this display starts coming up on this phone and it starts saying, you're 40 minutes away from work, traffic as well, you have an appointment at such and such, and all of a sudden it just starts running your life.
And the other thing, too, that Google has, and it's all about gathering information and studying you. That's how they're able to create these computers, is that they have now a new laptop called the Google Chrome. It's a relatively inexpensive laptop, but because everything is internet-based, so they created all these products like Gmail and Google Docs so that you can type in all your information. Everything is saved onto the Google Cloud. You don't need one piece of software, not one. The entire computer runs strictly off of the internet.
And with that, everything you send, they just get more knowledge about you and build a profile. Because they say they're doing it because they want to be more efficient and to be to carry you way beyond what you can carry and you can do. And I had a dream, and this particular dream the Lord gave me very specifically. I was walking in this technology room, and this lady carries me back to this, where these monitors are. And she showed me one particular one, and it was a live shot of the Earth, but it was the center of an ocean. It was the center of the ocean where even the middle of no, you haven't seen it. I've been in the Navy, so if you don't know where nowhere is, it's not where on land. It's in the water in the middle of where you're so far out. All you see is the curve of the Earth, and that God was showing me very specifically different things in this that. Every square inch of the Earth is going to be monitored. So what happens? A pirate ship comes up. They identify it. They send a drone out there and take it down. I mean, in logical sense, it just kind of said, hey, that would be good. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that they can send a drone to take you down. Right. You know? And it doesn't matter if you're American from what we're seeing, too. But in that specific thing, and what you're seeing is in the Google Store and all these different things and other companies are trying to keep up. But we have to be willing to say, you know what, even if I have to grow something, even if I have to grow my tomato, even if I have to starve to death, I have to be careful not just to go ahead and click through and say, you can use this as long as you accept these terms of agreement. Because what's going to happen is, you know, it says, this is what the Word of God says very specifically in the revelation of Christ, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18, talking about the beast and the beast economy and all that kind of thing that's going on, Satan. He says, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his forehead and on his right hand and on his forehead. This is pretty interesting because I just realized that they actually went into the man's forehead to be able to show that. And they gave him two injections on his right forearm.
Wow.
And therefore, you know, by the way, Google's first sketch was the Burning Man, by the way. We see that 10 things you don't know about Google, you can find that on the VFN Torch. They have no problem saying what they believe or don't believe in the context of that. So this is the end time economy, the beast economy, and it's what we're seeing being built here. He also forced everyone, small, great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand and on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had a mark, which is the mark or the number of the beast. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the man's number. His number is 666.
Think about this. We're here. We talked about that 3 years ago, and how much has technology advanced in just the last 3 years? Mm-hmm. And so it's important. Where do we go from here? And one of the things that was shared in this the beginning of this program was about these mind files that are already being done. Understand that everything that you do on the internet is being collected. Everything that you post, all the little cute pictures, and I'm actually eating a hamburger somewhere, you know, whatever you do. But all these different things, it's all being collected, where you shop, what you purchase, and a profile, a digital tag is created of you. And, you know, this opens up a, you know, Fourth Amendment situation, conversation, which we can't get into right now. But what about for us as the church? I mean, the world wants to live forever here in this life, but we all know that we're going to live forever somewhere. And we want as many people to go with us to eternity with God. And in heaven, and not in hell. But it's appointed for all of us to die once and then the judgment. But man has always wanted to try to live longer on this earth and to acquire more things and stuff and knowledge and power. And this is really what this is all about. I mean, to create an artificial intelligence, a robot that resembles you. I mean, we're there.
Scary.
It's scary. I mean, imagine 60% of your future interaction with someone, 60% is with a robot, not even a real person. What does that look like?
I don't even want to know. I just don't want to know. That's a horrible consideration to think that it's just, am I really talking with computers all day long?
Computers, but an actual robot that's made to look like a human. So you're having discussions, you're having critical thinking, you're sharing emotions. It's like, did I just talk to a robot? Think about that. Yeah. And I would dare say that some people would rather dare talk to a robot that resembles a human than to actually interact with a human in real life. And so we got to start questioning, you know, where are we going with this? What's the end game? And what do we need to be a part of as a church? Listen, it may come to a point where we may need to completely get off of this thing, because the narrative is that they're trying to control it. They're trying to get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. One of the words from John Paul Jackson was that the internet would go down and then it would come back up. But when it came back up, it would be absolutely different. And so who knows what really truly lies ahead. But I can so see the commercial. I can so see how they would try to pitch this to everyone that this is the humane thing to do. Just get a digital clone of yourself. And you can start hearing families talk about it. Well, don't you wish that your grandfather was still alive, that he could share some of the wisdom with your son or daughter today? Don't you wish that a parent, why does a child have to live the rest of their life without their mother? Just get a digital clone. Get a copy that has all her mannerisms, all of her wisdom, knows her personality, and is able to record new memories as life progresses. And don't worry about the robot if it looks, you know, too young. As years develop, every 10 years, we'll get you a new head. You just screw the thing back on that robot, and she's a little bit older. Dad's a little bit older. It's craziness. But this is where it's going. Mm-hmm. And we were journeying right back to what Dr. Lance Wanu said. He said, listen, we're accelerating at such a quick pace because man cannot be trusted with technology. Just man cannot be trusted. We are failed, you know, human beings. And so the question is, what do we need to do? We need to be about the Father's business. Remember that the mark of the beast in Revelation 13:16 says that we can't either buy or sell without it. Listen, the time is short, and we need to be about what the Father's called us to do. Heaven full, hell empty. Preach the gospel and make disciples of the nations. We don't need to submit to authority to technology. Technology has to submit to us. And at a certain point, we can't be dependent on information that we get out of computer, but we're going to be dependent on hearing God's voice and abiding with the Lord and hearing what his direction and his guidance and his wisdom. That's where we need to be. Today, Steve, how many people are interacting with their phones instead of even actually praying?
Every day. Yeah, and that's why we talk about so much the importance of iabide.org and having that abiding plan, something that you can do simply with a pen, a pencil, a paper, because it doesn't take the internet, it doesn't take a battery to use a pen and a paper.
Absolutely. Listen, we want to take this time to pray with you. We encourage you, please pray for us. We appreciate and covet your prayers. But Steve, would you close us out as we just venture into this new future? Close us out in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the awareness of these moments now, God. We just ask you, Lord, for the wisdom. We ask you, Lord, for that voice from your heart that you say, God, we need revelation, not information. God, give us that understanding of what to do in the seasons and times such as this, just like the sons of Issachar, that they understood the times that they were in. God, we just thank you now, God, that you're speaking to us so that we can be voices of light, voices of love, and give us those moments, God. And we just ask you, Lord, right now, God, for a third great awakening in Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen. 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 God bless you and thank you for watching. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com.
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.